Great day, amazing human. Yes, welcome to Empowered Up My Skin podcast, where our mission is to help 1 billion people in this world think in more empowering ways. Empowered humans empower humans. So you are in the right place to become a lead domino for empowerment today. My name is Nkechi Mwafa Robinson. I'm not only your host, but I am a vibrant optimist obsessed to bring you empowering content with every single episode. We will bring you weekly content alternating between longer episodes with featured guests and a shorter episode called Empowering Bites, where I will be joined by my co-host, Gabby Memone. So if you're ready, let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the next episode of Empowered My Skin, the podcast. And for YouTubers, I know you can see who I am about to interview, but for you listening, get ready. This is a good one. Our guest today is a powerhouse of healing and strategy, blending soul-deep coaching with sharp financial insight, a trailblazer in mental wellness, a builder of visionary leaders, and a voice of strength for those really yearning to breathe again. Community changer, faith-driven mentor, and advocate for putting your oxygen mask on first. Come on, we are in for a great treat. So put your hands and ears together for a gigantic podcast welcome for Fumi Fatona Ayowole.
Great job. Yes, yes, yes. Great job on the pronunciation. It's so good to be here.
I better pronounce your name well.
Yeah.
Were you worried? Well.
Yeah, you tried. I mean, Fumi is the, you know how to call Fumi, but the last name, you're like,
Ayowole. I didn't get that right?
Ayowole.
Ayowole. What? I didn't get that right?
Yes, well, you didn't, but it's fine. It's fine.
You want to shade me like I didn't get it right? Fatona Ayowole. What? Say it again. Say it again.
Fatono Ayowole. Fatono.
Oh, but it's an A.
Yes. Yes.
Fatono.
Exactly. Yes. Fatono.
Fatono Ayowole.
Yes.
Ah. Okay.
Yes. Yes. There are all these tiny nuances, but it's Fatono. Not a big.
I actually meant to ask you in the B roll in the BTS if we were supposed to say Fatono because it was here, but I usually in my she's on my speed dial, y'all. I don't have Fatono. I have only Ayowole. Well, just saying. But also known affectionately as TFA, right?
Yes,
I love it. So let's get started. What was your most empowering thought that you've had of the day so far?
That is such an amazing question.
It's always the first question.
Yeah, well, I don't even expect in that. But my most empowering thought of the day would be that you have to fight for your peace.
Mm. Yeah. I agree
peace
with that.
Is not just vibe, mm-hmm. It's a discipline.
Yeah. It is a discipline. I get it. You know, it's interesting because I'm in a season where my brain is like, and I hear it like, are you the thought or are you the thinker? You know? Yeah. And so I'm trying to really sit in the position of thought. And so I actually hear myself telling myself, nope, change to supernatural thinking. Change to supernatural thinking. That is a natural thought. To change to supernatural. You're in the natural. Change to supernatural. Like I feel like I'm constantly conditioning myself to be like, okay, only God thoughts. Only God thoughts. Only God thoughts. What would God think about this, right? Yeah. So I hear you. Peace is absolutely a practice. I like that. So what is your peaceful practice then?
For me, a peaceful practice is all around my daily routines. Mm-hmm. What I do to ground myself in the mornings from the moment I wake up, how I sustain my peace even during the day, the thoughts that I allow and the ways that I calm down and return to my center during the day. And then in the evening, how do I round off? How do I close? How do I reflect on things that happened in that day? How am I thinking about the next day? What are my intentions? So for me, at the very least, I have like three major anchoring moments in every single day to help me fight for my peace and keep it at all costs.
I love that. I love that. Isn't it interesting? I was just funny. As you were speaking, I was like, oh, look at all this growth from this girl that I met how many years ago? Like, just pre-pandemic, right? Like,
yes, pre-pandemic,
so
at least
5 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. And look at this. I'm in the interview seat and I get to like pick your brain for a change. Isn't that nice? I love it. I love it. So your story is both inspiring and absolutely raw, right? Like I remember when you actually shared it with me some time back. And so it's a story of surviving personal trauma, navigating mental health struggles, and then rising into leadership service, I'm going to say, identifying your gifting, you know, really elevating your voice and using it to really help others and leaning in a really deep way. And so what was your turning point, where you transitioned out of like this adverse, like place of adversity into sort of, I'm going to say like purpose?
I wouldn't say that there is a single turning point. I think that it's like a series of quiet reawakenings, mm-hmm. almost like times when you're reminded and you're pulled back to yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that I reached a point where the weight of pretending was heavier than the weight of vulnerability mm-hmm. and
mm-hmm. The weight of pretending.
Yes. Yes. The weight of pretending is so much heavier mm-hmm. than the weight of being vulnerable and healing in the process.
So how does somebody know that they are, because I think there's patterns that we as human beings get into, just, you know, just life throws us into environments and then eventually you've settled into a pattern. But what does, if you had to put words to what the weight of pretending would sound like, can you articulate that further?
I think it's not what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. It's what it feels like.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because on the outside, it may not be evident in sound to other people. Mm-hmm. But when you are in your own thoughts mm-hmm. and when you are, if you are that self-aware to evaluate what this is doing to you, mm-hmm. you find that there is an incongruence. And so your inside is totally different mm-hmm. or there are parts of you that are different from what is projected on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
That weight of pretending is like being full with your calendar. Your calendar is scheduled back mm-hmm. to back, mm-hmm. but you're connected from your core. It's like performing for other people and behaving like everything is fine.
Mm-hmm. But it's not.
Outside, but it's not on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you.
So if I go back to what I, so I think it's feeling and potentially sound, because it could be I'm fine. Right.
Yes.
I think fine is such a, it's such a trigger. Like, I think it's such a widely used word that
in our culture, it's like, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're not really fine. And so it's having that honest question. Am I really fine? And in this moment, can I answer this person and say, you know, even if it's, I don't want to talk about it, acknowledging and say, I'm not fine, but I'm not ready to talk about it either, is somehow giving, like giving an opening for that thin, whatever it is, to have space to move. I think what I'm getting from you is like, when you don't, it's locked up, it's tied up, and it has no room for movement.
Yes. Yes. It's that self-awareness. It's that honesty. It's that vulnerability. And like you said, even if you're not ready to talk about it at the mm-hmm. moment, but at least you are true to yourself and to the other person you're speaking to, that you're not fine at mm-hmm. that moment,
mm-hmm.
But you're sharing your humanness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So double-clicking a little bit more on the question that I asked, what was the inflection point where you suddenly felt that, you know what, I've been doing the work and now I want to turn it to help others? Do you remember mm-hmm. what that look like for you?
Yes, yes, I do. So back maybe say 9-10 years ago, I experienced such a horrible physical tragedy in my home in Lagos, Nigeria, where everything was flooded. Like, I woke up one morning, and on a Saturday morning, I put my feet down on the other side of the bed, and it was knee deep in water. I was knee deep in water. I mean, it had rained overnight. We didn't notice. And the structural foundations of the apartment was really damaged. Mm. And so everything that we had, you can imagine the loss of property. Mm-hmm. And with that came a lot of financial loss. In Lagos, Nigeria, unlike the Western world, you don't pay, you pay your rent in on a yearly basis. Oh. And the landlord, yes, the landlord, even after his apartment was flooded and we had to move
for rent.
He refused to give us back our rent.
Oh,
you prepay.
Oh, I see. Right. Because you paid all. Oh, right.
And I think we had only just moved in there for 2 months.
Yeah. Which could be understandable because he's probably gone and spent. Sorry. I don't know the landlord, not trying to put him on blast.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Point was, all of us, me and my husband and my then 1-year-old had to go and move into my old apartment, my old room in my house. Yeah. And so you can maybe start to think about or imagine the chaos. It was far away from all of the places that me and my husband lived and regularly and worked. There was a lot of financial instability. Then we were all living with my dad. It wasn't as pleasant. You know, you think that, oh, you've like moved out of the house and everything is different and you're independent and you are the woman of your own house, right? So totally different. And then it started to affect, for sure, it started to affect my marriage also. Mm-hmm. And all of that caved in on me and I started very depressed and even suicidal. Mm-hmm. I know, I don't want to discount. I would have said, oh, for someone else, it may not be as serious, but serious to me at that point. There were so many moving parts and not in a positive way. And so I was suicidal. For some reason, I reached out to someone on the streets of Instagram, a mom coach who was really just compassionate. She realized that I didn't have any finances. I couldn't pay her for her services. She worked with me for 6 weeks. She gave me a full scholarship. She worked with me one-on-one for 6 months.
Wow.
We excavated. There were times I was sitting on the bathroom floor at my own 2 a.m. because that was the time that was convenient for her. She was actually living in Edmonton in Canada at the time. So 2 a.m. for me was her whatever in the evening. And that was the time that worked for her. Hmm. And so we went deep. I would be crying, snot coming out of my nose. Journaling, thinking, you know, just basically tearing apart everything I knew and I thought about myself. So I went through that whole process. I think I came out on the other side just knowing that, number one, a person cannot live without going through several renewal processes of healing. And then secondly, I would love to pay forward the help that I receive.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. Lots of, I've done a couple of like certifications, coaching certifications, learning about human psychology, wellness, mental health, coaching, and so on and so forth. And when I got here to Canada, that this is now my 7th year in Canada, living in Canada, I started the company, and I feel very much that by divine inspiration, God was telling me that I can't be everywhere at once. Mm-hmm. I started to work with clients one-on-one, but how can we democratize this mental health support? And that's where the Virtual Soul Clinic as a nonprofit organization was born.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. And I always say the gift is taking it more out of adversity, and adversity takes out of you. And realizing that what you went through is eventually to benefit others in the world. And so you've done it in a very graceful way, and really like the impetus for it. So as part of the work that you do, you often, and I said it in your bio, talk about put the oxygen mask on first. And so in practice, can you help with the listeners explain what that is?
You know, it's that cute metaphor mm-hmm. that we know when, if you're flying, they say put on your oxygen mask first, even if you have a companion, even if the companion is a child and can't help themselves. Mm-hmm. It's important for you to, first of all, put on your own mask first, because you have to survive. Mm-hmm. If mm-hmm. you are not breathing right, you can't help the other person to mm-hmm. breathe right. That you wouldn't have the strength, you would not be able to see clearly in order to put the other person's oxygen mask. So for me, it starts with a daily check-in. What do I need emotionally, spiritually, physically? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's rest. Other times it's boundaries. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's laughter. Mm-hmm. I just need to be around someone who will make me laugh from my belly. Mm-hmm. And then for leaders or moms or people who are influential or those that are maybe mentoring others, mm-hmm. it's about checking that you are not your output. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me try and space that out. You are not your output. Your presence is the gift. So you have to be whole to give of your presence. Right? And you can't offer clarity to anyone if you're just running on fumes.
That's correct.
So, you know, we say you can't give what you don't have. You have to fill your cup mm-hmm. because you have to give from a place of fullness, not fullness and overflow, not just scraps and whatever is left of you.
It's funny. I was actually, when you got to your presence is that, no, you're not your output. I had a question that sort of formed, and I was like, that mic drop just that took that question all the way out. So I was probably going to do a little bit of a double click on there. I wish it would come back to me, because I feel like it's right here and it's about to leave. It's based on something that you said, but it's okay. So you wear many hats, you know, mother, advisor, coach, as you're talking about, faith leader, creative, constantly seems like you're traveling. You say I'm got a full calendar. Yo, Bredrin, like I can, like every single moment you're doing something, learning
you are
something.
Always
No. So I just want to know, like, how do you stay connected to your inner voice across these shifting roles and spaces? Because they all demand different things from you, right?
Yes, they do. But I think down at my core is my sense of identity. Mm-hmm. I am my father's child. Mm-hmm. And so I'm representing him in any and every one of these roles or spaces. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The second thing is I also know that I have a voice. Mm-hmm. The same way God created with his voice, I have the power to create with my voice. So regardless of whether I am teaching or coaching or advising, I am very intentional about the things that I say and to make sure that they are coming from a place of kindness and love. Whether I'm a friend to you, NK, or whether I'm a mother to my child, I want to make sure that I'm coming from a place of love, and I speak in love, speak the love. So I would say that's how I maintain my inner voice. And I think it's clearest when I'm not trying to perform or prove anything. It's clearest when I'm just showing up as I am, moment by moment. Mm-hmm.
So what does authenticity mean to you right now in this day, in this moment?
Authenticity, I think, is just being real.
So the real gets a real buzzword. So
yeah, I'm getting it. Yeah. Authenticity mm-hmm. is, hey, I just arrived from New Jersey today, and I picked up my son from where an auntie of mine was taking care of him. I got into the house. I pulled off my wig. I told my husband, hey, I need a nap. Please, can you take care of Andre for the next 1 hour? I need a nap. I didn't do anything else. I didn't get into the kitchen. I didn't check my email. I didn't answer any and everyone who needed me. I needed a nap. And I got it. I needed it and I got it. Authenticity is that freedom to be who you are. And I said it moment by moment. Yeah. Because there may be a time where you are in the boardroom, you are powerful, you're doing your stuff. But there are other times when you are tired and you just need space. Mm-hmm.
It takes me back to a moment that I had when in the organization I'm in now, in the early days. So I started leading at a higher level when I joined this organization and in a new space. And I remember there was a day, and I'm not saying it wasn't my boss, but I had anxiety. And I don't know why, you know, but I felt very anxious coming out of, I think I was probably anxious through the session with my boss, definitely anxious coming out of the session with my boss, new organization. And then I had to join another meeting with all of my leaders. And so left one meeting into the other in this virtual world. It's like instantaneous. It's like you're on to the next thing right away. And so I had no time to catch my breath, but in that moment, I don't know why, but I just, as the Hollywood Squares started to pop up and the team came online, I said to them, you know, right now I have anxiety and I don't know why. And I would say that, you know, you all still are very fairly new to me. I'm in a new role, new organization. So I've never, this cocktail of circumstances, I've never navigated it. And so I'm asking for grace because I don't know who I'm going to be through this moment. But I need grace. Yeah. And hearts, I think some hearts went up in this, any other. And anyway, what I would say to you is I actually then, after I released that, don't know when the anxiety actually left, but somewhere in that meeting it left, you know, and then I was just there. I was in it. I was going. But remarkably, what happened, transpired after, is because I work in a predominantly male environment, so most of the Hollywood Squares were male, and when I was having a conversation with my leaders, I think it was like a day or so later, he told me that he was talking with his partner, and he said never once in his career has he ever had like an executive, you know, sort of come on a call and just openly declare that they're working through anxiety in that moment and need support and grace from the team to help them navigate it, right? And so I've always talked about authenticity. I think in hearing that back from him, that became, for me, the anchor of authenticity that I was capable of living in safely without any fear of anything. Like, that's what I would say. It's this space where there's nothing to pretend, nothing to protect, nothing to defend, nothing to hide.
Nothing to prove.
Getting
it all figured out.
You're all in. And if you don't, this is it. And if you don't like it, that's it. Like it's it. And because I think sometimes you gotta keep it real. And then next thing you know, the person cuss off people's head. I'm like, that's pain. That's not authenticity.
Yeah, I think authenticity has to flow with grace.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Grace is a powerful thing. Love it. So we talked about, you've talked about how you sort of came across to, or came into the Soul Clinic, the virtual Soul Clinic. So really built on, I don't know if you talked about it, but in our research, we know that, you know, this foundation is built on the idea that healing doesn't happen in isolation. So, you know, from that vantage point, what role has community, especially like being an immigrant, you carry deep faith. You're my soul sister that way. You're my faith sister, my prayer warrior. And often you're playing in the spaces with women. Yes. You know, how has this played in your own healing and becoming, and how would you advise us to show up with each other?
Okay. I think community saved me. Mm. For me, I have been held up by women who didn't need me to be strong all the time. Mm. I was healed in prayer circle.
You knew that? Like you were in that kind of safe?
Yes, okay. Yes.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has that. That's why I'm...
Yes, there are people that I've carefully curated. And in fact, I was speaking with a big brother of mine who is a mentor that happened to be here in Canada from the UK last week. And it was our first time of meeting each other in person after maybe 4 years. And he was really reassuring me and reminding me that, yes, there will be a whole big community of people that maybe know you and your acquaintances. But then there is just like, I am faith-based, and so anyone listening to me may understand this. There is the outer court in the temple. There is the inner court. And then there's the Holy of Holies. So let me remove it from religiosity. But there is a part where everyone, people know you, there's acquaintances and so on. Then there is the inner court of people who are rooting for you genuinely and authentically, and you can be safe with them. And over time, they have proven that they really love you without the fluff. Mm. And you can be so committed to them and to your friendship and your relationship with them. Mm. So you have to be very careful about curating those kind of people. And so those are the people within which I was healed in prayer circles and WhatsApp voice notes and check-ins. These sisters for me and this big brother I'm talking about, that they're people that walked with me. They didn't walk over me. They didn't walk past me. Mm. They didn't just, I'm going through this. And they didn't just say, okay, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Or I'll pray for you. No, they actually called me up and prayed for me. Mm. They actually asked me how I was doing and offered to help in ways that money can buy or money cannot buy. Mm. So yes, healing does not happen in isolation. I mean, I described a time way back 8-9 years ago, but I'm talking about things that happen in my present current time. Maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, whether in my family, in my marriage, with my work and career, these people have held me down. And I cannot say that I'm where I am without these people.
Yeah.
So my advice would be, don't wait till people ask for help. Reach out, check in with them, hold space for them, and remind them that they are not a burden. And you can do that in your facial expressions, you can do that in the emojis, you can do that in just being so open to the people that you have decided, you know, that you have committed to in terms of a friendship and relationship.
That's right.
Because you never know who's just holding it together by just a thin
thread.
Yeah.
I love that. God, it's been so awesome.
It's good to be on this podcast with you.
It is absolutely awesome to be in the seat of, so for everyone that knows, if you study the match, she said she's been here for 7 years. So I met her 2 years into her journey, and I met her through an Empowered My Skin group mentoring program. And I've always felt like I've been in the seat of mentor, you know? And so I just feel like this really just proud friend, community support, faith sister, sister friend, like of yours. That's just, you've really blossomed into just so much strength, and I've always seen it in you. So just really, really proud of everything you've accomplished and all that you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, very blessed to have you in my life. So I'm going to take you through some rapid thrivers. When you think of someone who inspires you, who comes first to mind?
It would be, her name is Debola Deji Kurumi. She is a mentor and coach, and I was just with her yesterday.
Okay, nice. What is a daily activity that helps you with your thrive?
My workout routines. I'm there for 40 minutes doing HIIT exercises or boxing, weight training. I really love it.
What is a book that helps you with your thrive?
Relationship IQ by Darius Daniels.
Okay. I don't think we've had that one. Mm-hmm.
It is powerful. It is a powerful book.
Okay. There's a book I think I just bought it. It's like learning people, something about, it's like relationships. It's about learning. I have it here. I want to know if you've read it. That's why I'm trying to look for it. It's called, it's another good relationship learning book. Anyway, I'm not finding it right now, but we might have to have a B-roll conversation where I share it with you, but it's like, okay. Anyway, that's enough time spent on that. So I'll find it after. What is an app that helps you with your thrive?
Oh, I love ChatGPT nowadays.
Right? I think you are, let me just tell you something. You are the first person, and even me, I have not. You are the first person in 330, what episode are you on now? 334. That has ever said this. So yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, if you're not using, if you are not using ChatGPT or Copilot every single day, come on, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for mentioning it. Thank you. Thank you after my technology love. I love that. And so what is one misconception that people have of you when they see you, you know, in sort of the seat of coach, mentor, mother, advocate, like I mentioned all of these great things that you do, what is the misconception that they have of you?
I think people think that I'm everywhere.
I don't know that they're wrong.
Yeah, but I think, correct that misconception, I'm targeted. So okay. There are days that you will, that I didn't say peep or I didn't come out into the world, but my social media scheduling things are doing things,
okay,
you know?
Okay, it's the cue. The cue's been activated. I love that. So where do we find more of you, madam?
Beautiful. You can find more of me on www.thefumiayowale.com. You can also find me on socials, Fumi Ayowale on Instagram, Facebook. And I would love to encourage you to please check out the Virtual Soul Clinic. We have certain resources, free and discounted resources to help you through any of your mental and emotional health challenges. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I don't think you said your last name that much different than I said it earlier. Just saying, it sounded like the way I said it. But anyway, that's just what I think. But, so as a parting, in parting, finish this sentence. I feel most empowered in my skin when?
When I have just helped another human.
It's beautiful. It's simple. Different. And I love it. So thank you. Thank you, Fumi. It has been such a pleasure to sit here and pick your brain. And I'm very, very grateful that you said yes to being on the podcast. And so to everyone that's listening, I gather you are feeling more empowered in your skin. And so this is sadly where I have to say, we're out. Bye-bye. There you have it. I trust that you are feeling more empowered in your skin. As the late Dr. Maya Angelou said, when you get, you give. When you learn, you teach. So it would mean so much for us at Empowered in My Skin, Inc. if you share this episode and tag us or teach an insight that you took from today's episode on your social and tag us. Feel free to leave us a review over at iTunes and follow us on social media at Empowered in My Skin. Finally, remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode.